favorite food. Go.
Spaghetti and meatballs.
Spaghetti and meatballs. That's pretty good. What about fusilli? What about fusilli and meatballs?
Huh? No, but that falls under the same. That's the same category. It's just pasta. No, I'm talking about. Okay,
I like
so
pappardelle.
No. Let's not get into different kinds of pasta.
Pasta. Yeah, no pasta. Remember when Jason?
I like French fries. If I could have one single thing, it would be French fries.
One single thing. One single thing for me would be ice cream.
Okay, great. Welcome to Smart List.
Smart.
Hey, Will, is that a Spider-Man?
Yeah, he's got a Spider-Man chair.
Huh.
He's sitting in a Spider-Man chair.
It's Abel's chair because I'm in my new booth and it's not finished yet. And so,
I love how you blame it on the kids. Always blame it on the kids.
I'm not blaming it on. I'm explaining what it is.
That's your new booth in your new house?
Yeah. It's not finished. I got to put the carpet's not in yet. And
are you going to put leather floors in this one too? You fucking douchebag.
God. No, don't be an idiot. We're going suede.
I'm not happy with my podcast room setup here. The couch
None
I'm sitting
is,
on is so. It's not comfortable. And I feel like...
Can I ask you, is your couch from an old house? Is this just like a leftover? It looks like you're in a room that's full of leftovers.
From your college days.
It is. And,
it is, right?
And I'm looking at a Pilates bench, whatever you call it, in front of me.
Reformer.
Yeah, I just feel like it's time to admit that we're going to be doing this for a while, and I ought to untemporary my situation.
Well, make yourself comfortable. Why wouldn't you get something, a scenario that you're happy to go sit in?
Well, also, sitting up straight, Jay... Like
my posture,
I don't want you to hurt your lower back.
Well, that's my point. It's impossible to sit up straight in this couch. And I mean, should I dress for it too? I'm still in my pajamas.
The dressing is fine. I think it's more. It's the posture. I think it's making you. It's affecting your mood.
Quite frankly,
you think I have a shitty attitude?
Yeah, it's making you a shitty attitude because all your organs are crunched up.
You have to elongate those organs.
Hey man, let's keep it classy. Okay?
So let's get on the reformer, and I'm gonna come over there. I can be there in about 4 minutes, and I'm gonna come over and I'm gonna lengthen your organ with an S or a Z or a Z.
Okay, so our guest today. Are you guys ready for one of my great written intros again? They're so funny, guys.
Do you write these things? How many gummies in are when you write these?
Because I don't think I've swallowed them yet, but I'm still sort of picking them out of my teeth.
Put them in the back of your throat.
So this is the 9th draft, okay? This is how good this intro is.
Wow.
Actually, it's only about 6 minutes old. Our guest today is one of the most popular figures in music, worldwide, period.
Oh.
He started at the young age of 17 in the band we all know and love.
Steve Winwood.
Called Scream. He's now in his third band. He's been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and is about to be inducted for the second time.
Wait, what?
He's directed numerous videos and a few documentaries. He's been on SNL, Saturday Night Live, Tracy, 14 times. He has long dark hair, a great smile, and loves animals, long hikes, and short stories. He's a Capricorn, and don't I know it, because this fella has the exact same birthday and year as yours truly. Friends, this is Dave Grohl. Dave.
Oh, Dave Grohl.
Hey. Hey. Hey.
Oh,
ooh, look at that Led Zeppelin book.
I know, they asked for a towel to cover the camera thing.
And you dry yourself off with a Led Zeppelin box set?
Exactly. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Dave Grohl.
Can that take us right to drumming and my personal favorite, John Bonham? Is he number one for you?
Absolutely, no question.
Truly?
Number one.
No question.
No question.
No one close.
Okay, well, when I say the words Neil Peart to you, what does that do to you?
Well, he's Canadian, so it doesn't really count.
Yeah, he was in Rush, right?
Yeah.
He was the guy from Rush.
Don't say he was the guy from Rush. You're being
He
you're
was
being
the
coy.
Guy from Rush, by the way.
Dave,
he was
being
the guy.
Coy.
Here's the
Pretty
thing.
Pretty tight second.
A drummer like John Bonham,
sure.
You have to understand that the thing that defines a drummer is their feel, their signature sound. It's like their fingerprint, right? Yep. Every drummer has a different feel. If you have a piece of music and you give it to three different drummers, they'll play it three different ways.
Right.
Personally, I think that John Bonham was the greatest drummer not because of his technical proficiency, which was beyond anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Not because of his big fat feel, which was better than anyone else, but because he was kind of like, he like teetered on the brink of chaos the entire time. So he could like lay down a big fat groove. Kashmir, good example.
Yeah, sure.
The simplicity. But I mean, listen.
Frankly, when it comes to warmth, nothing beats Kashmir. But I'm sorry, Dave, I've cut you off.
You were about to say that John Bonham had a heavy stick, right?
He had a heavy foot. Yes, he was amazing. But here's the thing. When I was young, I got that 2112 record when I was like about 7 or 8 years old, right? Mm-hmm. And I was embarrassed to show it to my friends because of Alex Lifeson's camel toe that he had in that particular kimono on the back.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I studied that record and I thought it was amazing. But it's when you listen to Rush, you kind of listen to how he's playing stuff. But with John Bonham, you're listening because you want to know why he's playing.
Oh, I was going to joke and say why, but you actually said why, and that's interesting. A little side note, the boys know I just got back from Canada, and on my way back yesterday, I stopped in at Harvey's for a burger. It's a great Canadian chain.
Well, right on.
Oh, yeah, eh? So I was in there. I went in. I had to use the washroom. Is it over here, the washroom? And as I'm in there taking a squirt, all I hear is just very, very, very faintly, I just hear, "The blacksmith and the artist must be the ones to..." And I'm like, this is somebody... This is playing...
It's like the national anthem up there.
I know. And I will tell you this. The first time when I was first dating my ex-wife, we went up to meet my folks. The first morning we were in Toronto, we go to a Starbucks and we're waiting in line.
Not a Tim Hortons?
Not a Tim Hortons. No, it was a Starbucks. And in front of us was Geddy Lee, right in front of us. And I turned to Amy and I go, every day up here is just Geddy Lee everywhere.
Is that right, eh?
Yeah.
Anyway. So now, to close the John Bonham thing, Jason Bonham, a tight second, a bronze. Is he in the top five? Yes?
I do believe in the miracle of DNA.
Yes.
And that he inherited a lot of his father's skills. Like when you listen, we were at a studio not too long ago, a couple years ago, and he was down the hall recording. And with the door closed, listening to Jason Bonham play, it sounded like a guy from Led Zeppelin playing.
So
that.
You're saying the best way to hear Jason Bonham is to hear him through a closed door. I mean, that's not a resounding...
He didn't say that.
Not exactly what I said.
No, I know.
When he plays with a group that plays Zeppelin, He plays exactly like John did.
He doesn't
improvise.
Dad. Yeah, it sounds just so.
Listen, I want to. So this is all great for these other drummers, but I want to get to you, Dave Grohl, because look, I have to say, you're a guitarist now, and you're a lead singer, and you're a front man. But
you decided to give the drums to Taylor.
He gave the drums to Taylor.
Let the baby have it.
But
right?
I will say, I mean, Jesus Christ, it's pretty rad. Can we just take a second? Because you don't probably think about this enough. You're Dave Grohl, drummer from Nirvana.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I want to get into everything that you've done since.
Yeah.
But I want to just say that you're Dave Grohl from Nirvana.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. And I want you to enjoy that because that's pretty fucking rad.
I bet he's
rad.
Never thought about it before.
I don't think he has.
But when I was in college, you get this every day of your life. I've never met you. It's such an honor to meet you. I think you're amazing.
Thanks, Sean.
And when I was in college, Nirvana was just gigantic. And you know this, that when, you know, music has a special, it penetrates your soul in a certain way that other things don't. So a lot of people have a relationship with music that brings them back to when they were in a certain point in their life. And there's not a lot of things that do that. So for me, Nirvana was just massive, right?
Thanks.
It's just massive.
Sorry.
But I want to know, because everybody knows you're such a phenomenal drummer and guitarist. Is there an instrument that you've always wanted to play that you've never picked up or learned yet?
My first instrument was a trombone, and I realized that wasn't cool.
Trombone.
And then I really started with guitar. That was my first instrument. But the one thing I've always wanted to do, which I promised myself I would learn someday, is tap dance.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Come over. I'll teach you in 2 seconds.
Oh, my God. I have the shoes, but I've just never done it.
I have many pairs.
I'm scared to wear them in public. I have the shoes. What? And so one of these, I figure that, like, I can implement a lot of my my drumming skills and my understanding of rhythm into this. I can't dance, but I think I could do it with my feet, like speed metal double kick drum drumming.
I'm going to need both of you to sign a release real quick, and I'm coming over too because I'm going to video the whole thing, if that would be okay.
Yeah.
No, Dave's saying
and we'll both have white claws in our hands. We'll be tap dancing with white claws.
Why not?
Now, okay, now, so Dave, so you knew how to play the drums. You started with the guitar, but then when you did that first album for Foo Fighters all by yourself, guys, he played every single instrument
that I
all
did
by
not
himself.
Know. Is that true, Dave?
That whole That's first true. Album is nothing but him, and it's stunning. So did that come as a result of you just kind of, you know, screwing around, or did you go, I'm going to make an album, I'm going to have a band, I'm going to be the only musician, and I'm going to sing, and here we go? Or was it more just sort of like a, well, let's see if I can kind of do this by myself, and if it kind of gets traction, so be it.
Well, when I was young, I figured out how to multi-track with two cassette players, like when I was like 10 or 11 years old, where you can take one like Radio Shack cassette player, record guitar onto that, take that cassette and put it into the home stereo, hit play, and then put another cassette in the cassette player and play drums along to the guitar. And then you'd have drums and guitar on one cassette. So I was writing songs about
a fantastic quality.
Yeah. I just had a crazy experience when you said, when I was young, when I was, it reminds me of that lyric in your new song where you're like, when I was a young boy, when I used to have a toy gun. What is that song?
It's called Waiting on a War.
Waiting on a War, which I've listened to a lot because I listen to a lot of UK radio, you guys.
Because
I'm kind of cool.
Sure.
And my buddy Johnny Vaughn plays it a lot on his radio station over there. He's a great guy, very hilarious guy, much funnier than these two, Dave.
Yeah.
And
maybe he's available.
He plays it a lot, and I love that song. It's
Thank
such
you.
A, yeah. It's, have you guys heard it? No, they haven't, but it's such a great song. I'm sure they have.
Yeah.
It's such a great song.
Dave, can I ask you a question?
Hang on. Host I've of the never, year has I've a never, question. Go ahead. Here we go. Everybody's favorite host. Go ahead.
Wait, what's going on?
Sean's everybody's favorite host.
No. It's so stupid.
We just got some iHeart.
He definitely talks the least.
Dave, we just got some iHeart.
How do you
radio.
Do it, Sean? Hold on. I'm talking to Sean. Sean, you and I. Yeah. Come on. Eyes up.
I wait for a sliver of an opening, and I jump in there.
I'm sorry.
No, because
Dave, how do you like your omelets? I don't know.
Yeah, there it is.
Go ahead, Sean.
Because I've never met you, I'm truly a big fan. I have to ask you, and I apologize because you probably get this a lot. But when you were in Nirvana, I know, hold for it.
He loves.
I just
about
loved
Nirvana,
them. I loved you, and I love them so much. When you were in it, and you were first meeting and creating music and recording together, did you all know you had something special? Was there infighting? You're like, this is never going to fucking work out. Like, what were the dynamics?
Well, I met them through a mutual friend. Mm-hmm. I was in a band called Scream, and we toured in a van, and we toured America, played little clubs and blah, blah, blah. And we wound up on the West Coast. Our bass player, Skeeter, decided to just go home without telling anyone. And we were stuck
here. That
sounds
odd for a guy like Skeeter to just disappear.
I know, imagine. And it wasn't the first fucking time he'd done it, by the way. He did it in Europe, anyway.
And you think he got his name.
Yeah,
gotta get out of here.
So we were stuck in a house in Laurel Canyon full of mud wrestlers who worked at the Hollywood Tropicana.
Where in Laurel Canyon was it?
It's right next to that house where Rick Rubin records stuff, that like mansion.
Yes, I know exactly what it is.
It's directly next door to that. And so our guitar player and singer were brothers, and their sister worked at the Hollywood Tropicana. So we had a place to crash. Anyway, so the Skeeter goes home, and then this friend of mine says, hey, you know, Nirvana's looking for a drummer. And I'd heard their first record, and I loved it. I thought it was great. So he gave me their number, and I called him up, and they said, actually, we already have a drummer. I was like, cool, okay, well, if you come down to L.A., I'm just living in a house full of mud wrestlers. And so then they called back that night and said, maybe you should call Kurt. And then I got on the phone with Kurt, and we started talking, and he said, all right, well, if you can come up to Seattle, let's jam. And so I flew up there, and yeah, within like 2 minutes of us playing together, it sounded great.
Really good. And when you,
No, go ahead, Will.
Just to that, like kind of like to Sean's thing, like when you're in that gym recording the video that everybody has seen a million times and you're going
nuts.
Sounds
like Teen Spirit.
Yeah. I don't even need to say it. It smells like Teen Spirit. One of the most iconic songs. Did you know in that moment, you're like, oh, we're doing something pretty fucking rad and different here.
No, we were like, this is the most Spinal Tap moment of our entire career.
Are you serious?
Really?
Yeah, I mean, because it was like, there was like fire machines and a director with a bullhorn, like, more fire, more fire. It was like, it was kind of a little weird.
When they said, okay, you should call Kurt, what was that because you needed to just kind of do like a personality test with him? Or did you guys talk drum theory? Was it like an audition type of phone call?
Well, they had seen our band Scream play, and I was the guy with the big drums that would beat the shit out of the drums. And they basically said, like, well, if we could get a guy like that, I'm like a disco drummer. I'm a very AC/DC full on, just like,
I love that.
And that's what they needed.
Right.
And so, and then I just happened to be available. And so when we went up and started playing, also I sang backup vocals, which Kurt was putting on some songs. And so I could sing that to him.
Was there any joy from Kurt? Like, because every interview, every story, everything I've ever seen is just very heavy and dramatic.
No, this is a popular misconception about Nirvana, that it was a total drag. And it wasn't.
Yeah, you seem pretty funny, actually.
Kurt was really funny. He had a really fucked up sense of humor.
And was great.
Really, really funny. And Nova Selic, too, the bass player. I mean, we were like the Adams family. Like, Nova Selic is 6'7" and a half.
Right.
You know?
Right.
The Unplugged MTV, you could tell you guys had a great sort of fun kind of chemistry. You could tell things were pretty dry and wry. And
always.
And, yeah.
You know, but but then there were times that were really difficult because we basically went from sleeping in a squalid little apartment eating corn dogs every day to becoming this thing that people now know as Nirvana in the course of like 4 weeks or 6 weeks.
Right.
And we were kids.
Wow.
We were like 22, 23 years old.
Right.
So it was really, there were times that it got really difficult.
Was that like the middle of 91 when that just first exploded?
September of 91. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the first thing that you bought that you felt like, you know what, this is really irresponsible of me?
First check I got was $400. It was the most money I'd ever had in my entire life.
From Nirvana stuff?
Yeah, $400. I was like, fuck. And I went to the Fred Meyer, like, Kmart store. I bought a BB gun, a Nintendo, and I got a fucking tattoo. And then I was back to the corn dogs. Like, I had nothing. I fully MC Hammered it within, like, 24 hours. Just fucking dropped the whole thing back to the couch and the corn dogs.
It's good to learn that lesson on the $400. So when the big check comes, you go like, all right, I'm not going to do the BB gun again.
This is one of the beautiful things about some rock stars. Like, you think about someone like Steven Tyler. Oh, my God, that guy's had $10 million and then $10 and then $10 million and then Nintendo. Right. And I don't know if he's buying BB guns and fucking Nintendos, but it kind of goes like this. But actually, when we started making real money, both of my parents were musicians. My dad was a classically trained flautist, and my mother sang in a cappella groups and stuff. So we loved music. Anyway, my dad was also, he was a conservative Republican speechwriter on Capitol Hill and a journalist and a campaign manager. And my mom was a public school teacher, like liberal, cool. They were very cool. But anyway, so when we first started making money, my dad was like, you know, this isn't going to last, right? And I was like, no, fucking, of course. Why? He said, you have to treat every check you make like it's the last one you're ever going to make.
Absolutely.
He scared the fucking shit out of me. And I still do this.
Yeah.
Like, I still, everyone I get, I'm like, well, that's it. I guess I'm fucking out. Back to Shakey's Pizza. I'm fucking.
Yeah. right.
And we will be right back.
We get support from Happy Egg. I love starting my morning off with farm fresh eggs full of flavor. At Happy Egg, all of their hens roam on 8 or more acres of land, leaving no mystery to why their eggs are the best. These hens are raised on 8+ acres. I got to keep it down because if my hens find out, they don't have 8+ acres. My hens only have like 3/4 of an acre. And they're going to go on strike. Anyway, all of their hens are cared for by small family farmers and live their best hen lives day in and day out. All of this results in eggs with plump orange yolks that are full of flavor. I just, as I mentioned, I like to kick off my morning with farm fresh eggs. The difference is so glaring between an egg from Happy Egg and an egg that just came from clearly some kind of like sad factory. And you just have to taste it for yourself. If you're a fan of eggs, which I am, do yourself this favor and try Happy Egg eggs. You will not be disappointed. You will notice the difference immediately. Get with the Happy Eggs. They're so good. Next time you're at the store, look for the yellow carton. Choose happy with Happy Egg. Visit happyegg.com/smartless to find a store near you. And if you come by the house, don't mention it to my aunts. We get support from Canva. When your work, presentations, and docs look good, you look good. And you can design stunning work presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos with Canva. Canva is an easy-to-use online design platform. It helps people design compelling visual content and is great for designing any type of presentation and great for any teammate. So our team at Smartless is using Canva when they're coming up with different design concepts for various things with related to Smartless and Smartless Media, because we have a lot of stuff going on. It's a busy crew, okay? And if it wasn't for Canva, they'd all be fired. Supercharge your work with AI-powered Canva presentations, docs, videos, and more. In just a few seconds, you can generate slides and text from a prompt. AI is built into Canva right where you work, so you can stay on task without any app switching. It's AI that's easy to learn and even easier to use. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva is perfect for any work task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work. And now, back to the show.
You, like me, did not finish high school, and that has been one of the things that's sort of driven me to constantly try to stay a few years ahead to make sure I don't run out of employment or, you know, cash or anything. Is there still some part of you that's still sort of like, got to stay ahead, got to keep this thing going? They're going to kick me out any minute.
Always. Yeah. I mean, when you, like, so my mother raised my sister and I on, like, the public school teacher salary. Yeah. So it's, like, month to month, you know what I mean? So I sort of realized at an early age that she was working at the school and Bloomingdale's and ServPro carpet cleaning. I'm like, oh, shit, you have to work your ass off to stay ahead of it, to have food, you know? And so—
Is that Virginia where you grew up?
Yeah, just outside of D.C., yeah.
What, let me ask you this. What were the bands that you really, like, right when you were getting to, I know you talked about Zeppelin, and I know we all appreciate, I love those bands, and I'm an eclectic, like, people say, I'm like, I'm not a Deadhead, but I've seen the Dead, like, 11 times. Like, but I'm not
a
Deadhead.
I think that makes you a Deadhead.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. No, it doesn't.
No, I'm pretty sure.
I once saw on the same.
Were you, like, spinning and taping and
No.
He's a fish fan.
Do you have a tie-dye in the closet? Don't fucking lie.
I was selling devil sticks out of the back. I actually.
Have you ever worn tie-dye short? I mean, socks. That's a big
no,
one.
No, never. But
in
I do
sandals.
I have a brand new all-black Grateful Dead. They do send me. It's a weird story. The band sends me stuff sometimes. Anyway, I will say this. I saw within a week, I saw Bob Dylan's and the Jerry Garcia Band both sing Forever Young within 7 days of each other at Madison Square Garden. Anyway, but my point was this. What kind of music were you into? I was trying to get into, like, we're all into eclectic. You love Zeppelin. But was there one kind of music that you loved more than any other? Like, were you an indie guy? Were you a
pop guy? Yeah.
Metal guy?
I was a Beatles guy. Okay. And then I got that Rush record with the camel toe, and I was afraid to fucking let anyone hear it or know that I was listening to. I hid it, like, under my bed, like it was a Playboy. I hid it under the bed. And then I discovered punk rock music. I went up to Chicago. I have these cousins that live in Evanston outside of Chicago. And we would go up every year from Virginia for...
Don't say
Well, I'm from Chicago. I know Evanston.
Oh, there you go. So my cousin, Tracy, lived in Evanston right off the lake on this...
You have a Tracy?
I do.
Wait a second.
Wait a minute. Wait. You have a cousin named Tracy in Evanston?
I did.
Oh, no.
She's not dead. She's just in Florida now. But anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, so I went up there... And she had turned into a punk rocker. Like, we one summer we show up and she's got like chains and boots and the jacket and the shaved head. I was like, I'd only seen that on like Quincy and Chips. I'm like, holy fucking shit, this is real. Oh my God.
Wait a minute.
This is amazing.
Quincy.
Yes.
The and problem so, child that needs to be rescued.
That night, she took me to the first time I ever saw a band was this punk rock band from Chicago called Naked Ray Gun. And they they were playing at the Cubby Bear right across the street from Wrigley
Field.
Yes,
of course.
So she took, I was like 13. She took me to the Cubby Bear. And I'm like, all I knew about rock and roll was like the lasers and the dragons and the castles and the fucking Kiss and shit like that.
Yeah.
So this was like this tiny, shitty little room with a tiny, shitty little stage. And they had two tiny, shitty little lamps and there was a microphone. And they started playing and the place fucking exploded in like spit and blood and puke and fucking guys standing on my head. And I was like, oh, this is rock and roll.
Yeah.
This is
That's pretty wild.
So then I fucking dove headfirst into that whole punk rock thing. But the thing that I loved about it is that all of these bands were totally doing it themselves. Like, there was no record companies. They had their own record companies and made their own.
So, you like Fugazi, like that whole vibe? Like, that
like
was
Fugazi.
Cool.
Yeah, like Fugazi. Yeah. That whole scene. Well, that's where I grew up in D.C.
Right.
Like, those were our
friends. The 930 friends. Club?
Yeah, the old 930 Club. Club. Yeah. So
how much time did you spend in Chicago?
We'd usually go for like a couple weeks and then we'd go back home.
Yeah. Did you ever go to Medusa's?
Did not go to Medusa's.
It was like
an ice cream shop or something.
What is it? So is that where you used to get your pants tailored? What
is that? A vape thing? I don't
know. So speaking of pants, speaking of the camel toe and everything, once you got off the drum stool and you became lead man and you're up front, was there a pressure to work on the inseam at all? Like when you're up front, do you have to, what is the rock and roll sort of rule there that you, can you wear baggy pants as a,
Wait, huh?
Yeah, we're talking.
Can
about
you wear baggy pants as a singer?
Yeah, or do you obligated
to? Do we have to talk about MC Hammer this whole podcast? Is that what we're doing?
MC Hammer and John Bonham, go.
Well, no. I mean, I didn't put that much thought into it. One of the reasons why. Okay, so I go and I record that thing by myself.
Where
the first
where were you?
Record? It was just because the first Foo Fighters. It was in Seattle. There was a studio right down the street from my house, and I'm like, okay, I need to do something,
right?
Because I stopped playing music. I didn't want to become someone else's drummer, and I was, you know, our whole world was turned upside down.
Then you went to Ireland, and there's this great story about a hitchhiker there. If you want to share.
Yeah. So after Kurt died, everyone just kind of like retreated into our corners and we kind of hid from the world and I decided to go on this like soul searching, find the most remote place on earth trip. And I went to the Ring of Kerry in Scotland where I'd been before and I decided I was just going to drive around and think for a while. And I was driving down this country road and I saw a hitchhiker and I thought, well, maybe I'll pick him up. And as I got closer, I saw that he had a Kurt Cobain t-shirt on. In the middle of nowhere. And it was in that moment that I'm like, okay, I can't outrun this thing. I need to play music.
That's wild.
And so then I went back and booked 6 days in this little studio and just recorded the 15 songs by myself, thinking, okay, I'm just gonna make a cassette and hand it to some friends. And what it was not like a career decision. It was like, okay, I'm just gonna do this because I felt like I needed to do it.
But it made you go, okay, good. I thought you were going to say, so I strangled the guy and I hit him in some bushes. Like, okay, good. You did not do that. That did not happen. Okay, good.
Fuck no. I got the fuck out of there as fast as I could.
Man, that album is so great. As all the ones that followed have been as well.
But that was kind of your, like, you realized that, like, you had to kind of, I love that idea, like, that headspace that you're in, that you're, like, you're like, okay, universe, I hear you, motherfucker. I'll do it. I'll jump back in.
Just steer right into it.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, like, your entire life, listen, in the darkest moments of your life, you've probably turned to music and listened to music to help heal whatever you feel.
100%.
So I kind of went in that. At first, I'd stop listening to music, and then I'm like, no, wait, it's kind of healed me my whole life. Now I need to, like, get back into it. So I did.
Right.
100%. Right. I get that.
And then what was it? Was it transitioning off of the drum set and going up front and finding Taylor and kind of handing that off?
It's a drum kit, by the way. It's a drum kit.
Sorry, yeah. Was that a comfortable thing? Did you want to sing and play guitar and be up front? Or was it, what was that decision process?
No, it was totally weird and foreign and I hated it. But that's kind of why I did it, because I didn't want to just go sit and play the drums some more, because I kind of knew I could do that. But this was something I didn't know that I could do.
And you had some things you wanted to say, yeah, with writing lyrics and...
But my lyrics are fucking terrible. I said absolutely nothing at all for the first 10 years. Like, oh, maybe the last record I actually said something meaningful.
Are you conscious of that when you're writing? I'm not agreeing with you, but are you, when you're writing lyrics, are you like, I'm not even going to try to do anything somewhat profound?
You know,
here.
I remember spending so much time on a lyric once, and our bass player, Nate, said, dude, not every song has to be Imagine. You know that, right? Uh-huh. And so then I was like, really? Yeah, this is a bunch of fucking bullshit.
Right, right. Can we go back? So who was the flautist, your dad or your mom?
Dad.
My dad.
Dad. And did they encourage you to study music and to learn music theory and things like that? Or are you just by ear? And
I just kind of went by ear. There was this old guitar in the corner of our house. And I, like around nine years old, I picked it up and I was one string. I'm like, bam, 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 bam. I'm like, oh shit, this is easy.
Yeah.
I just fucking, took like a few guitar lessons and I had this Beatles songbook and we play along with Beatles stuff. But drums, I would set up pillows in my bedroom on the floor and learn how to and put on records and do it that way.
Does any part of you want to go learn, I mean, not that you have to because you're brilliant, but go back and kind of learn all of the, how to read music and how, and the music theory of it and chord progressions and time signatures and all that kind of stuff?
Oh God, that sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah.
No. There is no part of me that wants
now,
to
now
do that.
Now that you've got a lot of money and time to do whatever you want, do you want to go and read some
fuck
boring
that
shit?
You know, I actually had a plan when I was young. I was like, okay, since I'll never become a professional musician, I should learn how to read music and I'll become a studio drummer. And then I'll make enough money that I could put myself back through school and then get a real job.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And then I was like, fuck that.
Can I ask a dumb question? Can you read drum music? Do drums have notes?
Yeah, they do. And they look like squiggly little lines. I don't get it.
Just,
like,
they're X's. Where the notes are, they're just X's.
Huh.
Okay, Sean. Like, let's learn how to
Sean's
play some drums
very
right now.
Studied. Sean knows what he's talking about with
Maybe
this.
You could teach me to play the drums as well. Yeah. Tap dancing, drumming.
Yeah, if you got some extra time.
Dave, he's trying to get you to, he's trying to identify and he's working towards, ask him, Sean, about musicals. Fucking ask him.
No. I do have another question, though, about genres of music. Is there a certain
Have you seen
genre
Promises,
of...
Promises? Have you seen Promises, Promises?
Have you, is there a certain genre of music that you aren't drawn to? Like, you know, there's so many. There's country, there's pop, there's rock, there's rap, there's just tons and tons. Is there something that you're like, that's not for me?
I'm not the biggest country fan, I have to be honest. There are certain things that I kind of like, and there's certain artists that I respect and think are really great.
Maybe you and I can get together and watch a Ken Burns documentary on country and get to know it and get
Should
to love
we do
it.
That? Yeah. Should we go? I mean, I went to, like, I did this HBO series called Sonic Highways, and I went to Nashville and did a whole episode on Nashville.
Right.
And it was really interesting, and of course, like, Nashville's... That's the town with the best musicians. That's the place where
you
walk down the street, look in someone's window, and they're playing like a dulcimer or something like that.
Yeah.
Like that place is filled with the most brilliant musicians. I don't know why. It's just I've just never clicked with the country.
Tell me how you like or not like the being sort of the front man, the leader, the dad in the band. But I mean, you know, he put it together and he's the boss. And how do you like managing the inevitable ups and downs of traveling and living together and probably spending more time with one another than you
Hang
do
on,
your
before
actual
you answer,
family.
Sorry, Jason, I just want to cut you off and just say, or the mom, just because, just to cut off all, you know, to head off the letters we're going
to
get.
He needs to be mom too. You know, there's mom.
You're such a dummy.
Wow, Will's policing this whole thing?
Yeah, that's a bad sign.
That's not cool. Yeah, that's like me being the front person of a band.
I know.
Bad idea.
But are you good at smoothing out conflict and doing all the administrative stuff that one needs to do? In a band or not?
Well, we've been a band for 26 years.
That's
now,
crazy.
Which
That's
is
amazing.
Totally crazy. It's 26 years.
That's great.
And I think that eventually you come up with some sort of system that works. And I always liken it to like wheels in a clock. There's like the big wheel that rolls slow. There's the little wheel that kind of does this. And when the gears meet, like that keeps ticking. And so...
I love that.
You know, I like... to be in a band, right?
Right.
Like, I like it when everybody is there for the same reason and everyone's contributing and it's really awesome. Do I have to make like sort of weird decisions, tough decisions sometimes? Yes, but I refer to different members for certain things. Like if I have a sort of like a, any sort of like ethical dilemma or crisis, I turn to Nate and Pat and I'm like, what should we do? They're like the barometer. If we need to have like a stadium rock ending to a song, I turn to Taylor and I'm like, Taylor, what would Queen do? You know, right. So.
What about t-shirt designs? Who's got?
Never me. Absolutely not. Never me.
Really?
No.
Who's got the taste on the graphic art?
It's probably like Nate and Chris. Mm-hmm. And you know what, to be honest, I don't fucking care. So I just kind of back out and go like, yeah, whatever you guys want to do, I don't fucking care.
You don't care, for real.
When it comes to album covers and shit, yes.
We haven't done a coffee cup for a while, or what about a good key fob? You're not.
Yeah, that's
not,
an email that I swipe and delete.
I'm by the way, like, those are Bateman's best ideas: coffee cup and a fucking key fob.
God, I've designed the greatest
clearly,
key fob.
I mean,
he's
aesthetically inclined. You just take a look. Yeah,
this looks like just a generic hoodie. It's $6,000.
Hey, by the way, we should mention, this is a great time to mention because we've never mentioned it except for when we do have hoodie. We have a website. I just thought about that this week. We have a website.
Oh, you have merch.
And we have merch, and we've never talked about
it. Cool. Go to foofighters.com.
Foofighters.com. Yeah, it's weird that we're selling our stuff at foofighters.com.
Dave, when you were growing up, it's clear that you kind of, you know, took influence from your dad and the music side, and a lot of kids either go one way or the other, right? You go, oh, I want to do what my parents do, or I want to run from what my parents did. What about your kids? Is anybody kind of...
Or in your case, your parents just run.
Right.
Sorry, yep. Keep going. Not your dad, but keep going, Sean. Sorry.
And I stayed put and got fat. But anyway, what about your kids? Do they want to do it, Dad? They want to run?
Well, my daughter Violet, who's 15, she is the most talented musician that this family has ever known. Like,
oh,
she has
cool.
perfect pitch, and she has like a incredible memory, musical memory. She could pick up an instrument and learn it in like a week. She's a total badass.
Does she think you're a badass, or does she think he's dad? He sucks.
He's a dad-ass. No, yeah. I think she it's 'cause she's grown up like, you know. I've been carrying her backstage since she was, you know. Right. So she's seen this whole thing, like, from the
but
ground
she gets
up.
That you're good, that you're not just screwing around.
Well, she gets that I work really hard at trying to make good records and stuff like that, good. And that's a big part of it.
How does she handle all the travel? I mean, she doesn't know any different, hopefully. Like my kids, like, they just kind of deal with it, and I don't see any problems yet. But how does the family deal with you being gone all the time?
Well, you know, she's one of our backup singers now.
Oh, great.
So she comes on the road, and we share a room. She's like on that side of the
How
suite.
How old is she?
I'm on this 15 and a half. On this side
no
of the
way.
Wake up
That's
in the
so
morning,
cool.
and
That's
I like
awesome.
Order room service. And I'm like, it's time to get up. And then we like
that?
Have some breakfast, and then we roll our bags down to the thing, uh-huh. and then we go to the thing.
Sure. Yeah. Sure,
100,000 people.
That's so
and then
sweet.
We get a pizza, and then we watch a horror movie. And it's actually really awesome. And then That's my daughter, so Harper, she came up to me when she was like 9 or something like that. She's like, Dad, I want to learn how to play the drums. And I'm like, drums? Like, that's some fucking mailroom position shit. Really? Like, straight to the drums? Usually you get demoted. And so I was like, okay. So I started showing her how to play the drums. And she has, like, an internal meter where she's got really good time. And she understands how that shit works. And I sat her down and gave her an AC/DC record. And she was like, she has feel. Like, she's really got it. She did it for like 3 months and was just like, fuck that.
By the way, that was really good already.
Did you show her the videos of Nandi Bushell?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? They're actually my daughters. I wrote a song for Nandi, and my three daughters were the backup singers for the song that I wrote for Nandi.
That was that girl, that English girl that you got into the thing with? That was
unreal.
So rad. That was so rad.
I have a question about what you just did, because that was kind of mind-blowing, what you just, like Will just said. That was crazy. Is the thing about drummers is like this internal thing. How do you learn how to, I mean, it's you keeping the rhythm for the whole song, for the whole show, all the time, every song, and how do you learn how to do that?
You know, I'll tell you, when I was a kid, like when we would, my grandparents lived in Ohio, and we would drive from Springfield up to Youngstown, Ohio. And when you pass through Pennsylvania, you're going through all of those tunnels through the mountains and stuff. Mm-hmm. So you have a radio station on, and there's a song. It's like, wham, and then you go into the tunnel, and it's gone, and you try to keep time with it. So when you come out, it's like, And so I would do this game in the fucking tunnels to see if I could actually keep the meter going like that. And so I did that my whole entire life.
But all joking aside, and the tap dancing, I know we were joking about that.
That's no joke.
You have to be. You have to be a good dancer because, not that you've tried maybe, or I don't know, because it's your whole body is rhythm.
Yeah, but that's kind of the last thing you want to see from anyone on a dance floor. Because I'm either going to, like, do the fucking robot, or I look like a deadhead, like Will, or it's like, it's not, I don't know.
But how is that, how is the rhythm, the internal rhythm, the clock that you have, how is it, you know, shown up in other parts of life, you know?
I could play drums with my teeth.
You can? Hmm.
What does that look like?
Hold on, let me see if I can...
I can do this. That's I can do this with good. my mouth and my nose, my breath. I can go.
Oh, I heard that. That was cool. Wait. I was like, chaka 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 chaka.
It was a little bossa nova.
Yeah. Wait, do you do blow?
Do I do blow? No, I don't.
Boy, she's still up.
That would come in handy.
Hey, you really should try it though.
Yeah, it's real fun.
Sorry, that's just an aside.
So, Sean, did you do that because you wanted to try to figure out how to smell your own breath? Do any of you guys know how to smell your own breath?
I'm sorry, what's the question, idiot?
Sorry, I want to double back on the camel toe question for Dave, and then when I want to get to breath smelling. I'm kidding. Guys, I'm the best host of the year.
For what
about
sure.
these
you
questions?
So?
Wait,
you,
what about these questions? They're so
I had a
good.
Joke that I was going to make that even I wouldn't make, so I
do
didn't
it. We
make
can cut it.
It.
Go.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Really?
You can do it.
No, I actually have a line.
All right.
Okay. Hey, Dave, what about directing? Why do you have a passion for that? Or is it just like, fuck it, I'm tired of listening to these guys direct our videos. I'll tell where to point the camera and stuff like that. Or do you have a passion for that?
Well, most of the videos that we've done, like, have come from crazy dreams that I've had. And so, and we would look through all the treatments people would send us, and I'd be like, man, that doesn't really matter. And then I would write a treatment, and someone would say, do you want to direct it? And I'd say, I have no idea how to do that. And then I would do it. And so I've done it a bunch of times. And then the documentary stuff, like, that stuff just kind of fell into my lap. And that's really fun. I really enjoy doing that.
Okay. Who are the musicians now? And all jokes aside from going like, you know, like Elvis Presley, like who are the people you would like to, who are still making music or have been making music in the last 25 years, current recording artists that you're like, or that you would like to make a record with, or you think is fucking cool, or doing something that's cool. And I don't mean like, I want to do with Justin Bieber, like forget the mainstream, and I don't want to hear the ironic answer. Tell me the real answer, not like the thing that you think would, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know I've met a lot of really amazing musicians.
I'm sure. Everybody. Like Steve Malkmus, like somebody like that. Like he's one
of
the
I'm more like
heroes.
Omar Hakim and Nile Rodgers and Greg Kurstin and like just like assemble like a real like badass group of people to go in the studio for 1 week and then just like bang some stuff out and see what happens. That's really fun. Because when you meet musicians that you've never really played with before, you meet someone and you try to carry a conversation and you try to like make friends this way. But when you put on instruments as musicians, like those conversations can be more fun and deeper when there's no language. You're just like playing the music together.
Right.
That's really awesome. Because then you almost... You find out what type of person they are by the way that they play their instruments. So that's why I love jamming with so many different people, is that it's like, you know, once you sit down and start doing it, you're like, oh, that's who you are. Oh, okay, cool.
I tried to make a conversation with Dave once during some of my before I lost my privileges. This is when I was really thirsty, during my peak drinking.
Sure.
I was over at, I think it was Trader Vic's in Beverly Hills.
Oh, my God.
And, you know,
how psyched was he when you showed up?
Yeah, well, hold on. Yeah, he let me know. I was deep into my third Scorpion Bowl, and there's Dave Grohl sitting in a booth. And I had just learned that we share the same birthday and year. And I just thought he would be thrilled to learn this too.
I am. I have been.
No.
Remember the time we had the birthday show at the Forum? I was so excited for us to share an arena concert
but this was
celebrating
my,
our birthdays.
But this was my first, this is my passion for you was running white hot. I'd never met you before. And there he is. And I just learned we share the same birthday. So it's no wonder why I think this guy's so amazing. So I slide into the booth next to him and I just give him the eyebrows and I say, hey, guess who's got the same birthday as me, same year. Just smiling at him, waiting for a, like a fucking what? And he looked at me. This is all in my drunk memory. I'm sure he was very, very nice. But I just remember just whatever the physical facial equivalent of crickets is, I got it.
No, that's pretty lesson. Spot on. That's pretty spot on what you're describing.
It was,
right? Yeah, pretty much.
You can see it. You know,
so fucking what, Jason Bateman?
I'm here, right? How crazy is this?
We'll be right back.
Thank you to one of our new sponsors, My Mochi Ice Cream, for supporting the show. I just discovered cookies and cream. My Mochi ice cream. And I'm a little obsessed, but I'm a lot obsessed. Do you not know what My Mochi ice cream is? Picture this. It's a perfect little scoop of rich, creamy, premium ice cream wrapped in the softest, sweetest dough known to mankind. My Mochi ice cream is sweet. It's chewy. It's cool. It's creamy all at the same time. It comes in tons of fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, cookies and cream, and double chocolate. That cookies and cream, I've always been a cookies and cream fan, but then when I had the My Mochi, oh my gosh, I mean, I was like, my mouthy loved it. First of all, an absolute knockout. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned mochis that are gluten-free, and about 90 calories each. You can find My Mochi at Target or go to mymochi.com to find your nearest grocery store. Discover the cool, creamy, joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream today.
Hey, Smartless listener, we get support from Viator. You know, Scotty and I took a vacation many years ago. We geeked out because we liked the movie Amadeus, and we went to Austria, and it was fantastic. We went to all Mozart's kind of hangout places, and I know, total nerdville, but it was pretty cool, and I absolutely loved it. It will always be one of our favorite memories of vacationing, so maybe one of the most perfect experiences we've ever had traveling. And so next time you're looking to plan the perfect trip like that, an experience, check out Viator. Viator is a tool you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world. Their app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you are traveling or what you are interested in. Feel better about your travel decisions by checking out real traveler reviews to get the inside scoop from others who have already checked out the experiences. Viator offers 24/7 customer service so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. Plus, free cancellation to help you plan for the unexpected. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challenger, starring Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. Her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at ChallengersMovie.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/smartlist to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/smartless. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, back to the show.
Are you always someone who kind of, because you have so much energy, you're super funny, you're always writing, you're always making, creating something. Are you that kind of personality that just goes all the time? And if so, how do you relax? How do you calm down? What calms your brain down? Or no,
you're White just, Claw.
White Claw.
Yes, I'm a total spaz. That's the short answer. What do I do to relax?
Is there anything that calms you down?
I don't know. I don't have any hobbies. I don't know.
Do you
know.
Work out or do you go
no.
to the, like, no, you don't work out. Let's come work out with me, Dave. Come over to the house.
No.
Yeah.
But Dave,
no.
are you a spaz all day or are you like
yes.
me? Because we are the same age.
Do you crash?
At like 4 o'clock. Is it a testosterone thing? Is it a,
you might want to get your thyroid checked.
Are
I'm
you napping
sure.
at all now, Dad?
I'm a bad napper. No, not a good napper.
No, not good.
No. No, I pretty much spaz all day. It kind of ramps up around, what time is it? 10, 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And then it peak spaz, and then it kind of dips a little bit.
Let me ask you guys like a
and then the White Claw.
Yeah. A really dark, weak stream is a good sign, right?
Yes, especially if it smells like maple syrup.
Okay.
I think that's what you're
just checking.
Referring
just checking.
To, right?
Just checking. I'm healthy.
Dave.
Dark and weak. I love
dark,
it.
Dark, weak stream. Dave, but I do want to know, though, like, is it, like, are you a baseball, do you watch baseball, or do you,
no,
anything like that?
No, I don't watch sports, no.
Okay, you don't watch sports.
No.
Well, let's,
the closest thing I had to sports was I was on a skeet shooting league for a while.
That's
like,
pretty.
It's pretty fun. That's like.
Pretty dope as hell.
That's my sport.
What, skeeter?
Like skeeter.
How often are you playing music? Is it every day in some capacity? You're picking up and just kind of like noodling around on the guitar, looking for a rhythm that might become a song?
That happens kind of every day. But
what do you listen to in the car? Do you have a radio? Do you listen to radio at all? Ever?
I do. I listen to old school. Legit, first of all, like just the fact that I'm on a computer right now with a thing that's connected to this other thing, all this stuff, is a fucking miracle. I'm the most like
not
AM radio analog dude.
Okay. Yeah.
I drive around in the car. I listen to KLOS or whatever.
You do.
And I hear like Foghat again, and I still like it. And
yeah.
Or, you know, I'm also a YouTuber. So I'll wind up watching videos of songs. Like I just, the other day, remember that They Might Be Giants song?
Put a little birdhouse in your soul?
Yes, it's one of my favorite groups.
I hadn't listened to them in like 30 years.
Yeah.
And in the last 12 hours, I've listened to that song like 1,200 times.
It's the best. I love
it. It's amazing. Like I'm even watching like covers that people have done of, whatever.
Yeah. Bad.
What about this sort of this move away from, it's happening over the last 10 years, probably 15 years, away from real drums, real guitar, real everything, and it's becoming much more sort of electronic and you can kind of make a whole album on a computer.
What do you mean the last 10 years? Have you ever heard Soft Cell?
Yeah,
like,
that's,
come
like,
on, well, man.
No, but I mean, you know what
I
mean?
What is it, 2011 right now?
Damn,
what are we talking about? What are you what?
But like, there's no more like amps and.
There are. Like, remember the last time, I mean, there are moments where you see it sort of poking its head into mainstream music. First of all, it's not, it's not like a meteor crash, dinosaur extinction level event. It's like guitars and drums.
Thanks to you guys and a couple of other bands, you guys are keeping that thing going strong. But, like the days, like the new band used to be, like White Stripes or something that's just like hardcore. But now
stripped
it's like
down,
anything
mean.
That's like, but like super techno, electronic, odd, you try to find a rhythm and you can't is sort of the new... Some of the new sort of...
I mean, it's also very cyclical. Where something will be really, really popular for a while, and then that becomes like, oh, wow, they're using guitars and drums. Like, if you look at... I mean, first of all, Miley Cyrus is, like, becoming the next Joan Jett as we speak. Like,
really?
This is really happening.
Yeah.
I mean, then she goes out, and she's like a rock star, Or, like, when Lady Gaga played on the Grammys a few years ago, like, instead of doing her huge production, she was like... It was almost like she was Ziggy Stardust. She was like singing with the band behind her. And
hey, Dave, let me ask you, what's your favorite beat of all time that always gets you? There's there's a song that comes on, you go like, fuck, I just love that.
You know what
beat.
It is? It's
what?
That reggaeton beat that's like.
Is there a song that has, what is that?
There's 10,000 songs that do that.
Like that, right.
like Justin's got one and Selena's got one. And
I was just thinking, like, I love that. You remember that, like, Stone Roses' Fool's Gold?
Love. Yeah, it's a Manhattan beat.
Well, you know, this is the thing. Sometimes.
Dave, did I get that right?
I don't fucking know what any of you guys are talking about.
When just turn them all the way down.
Sometimes when a beat will define a whole genre of music, and this is dangerous, I think, because then all of a sudden your band or your type of music you're playing is restricted to this one thing, and it happens, like trap music, when all of a sudden, when it was like, and you're going like, hibbit, shabbit, babbit, shabbit, pizzi, hibbit, that was like 3 years ago or whatever.
Yeah. Right, yeah, gone, yeah, right, yeah. It's gone. I know exactly what you mean.
Because it was the same fucking beat in every fucking song.
But Will, I know what you're talking about. That song, that Stone Roses song, everybody emulated that beat for like several years.
Right after that, that was like 1989, and it was just like, boom, all those bands
everybody,
out of Manchester specifically, but it was like so good, and God, I love that band.
Dave, true that you broke your leg, went backstage, got a cast on it, came back out, finished the concert, then had a throne built to continue the tour. Is that correct?
Yes.
True. All of it true.
All of it true. Wow. Well, sort of. I fell off the stage and I dislocated my ankle and broke my leg. And then I felt no pain, so I was like, I'm going to go fix this. I'll be right back. And I looked at the band and was like, just play a Queen song. Just go, 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 go. And they pulled me off to the side of the stage, and the guy, it was in Sweden, he takes off my high top, and he's like, your ankle's dislocated. Must put it back in right now. And so I'm like, oh, my God. So I got this huge cup of Crown Royal, just like, bleh. And then he puts it back in, and he's holding it there, and I'm like, okay, so
now what?
Can I go sit down and finish the show? And he's like, well, we have to put a cast on it. And I was like, okay, do you have one? He's like, no, we got to go to the hospital. I said, how far away is that? He's like, half an hour. I'm like, fuck that. You go get the cast and I'll go sit down. And he goes, well, if I let go of your ankle, it's just going to fall out. And then I was like, well, then you're coming on stage, motherfucker. And this guy was like, okay. And they put this ace bandage around it.
And he came out with you?
And held my foot. It was now, again, I'm making decisions. And so he sat there and held it as we played. It was a stadium, and we kept playing.
Still no pain?
Wow.
No pain.
And then the throne, and then you had a chair developed to continue the tour, later gave that throne to Axl Rose. True or false?
True. Axl had to use it. Oh, you want to know what's crazy? Okay, so then Axl used it for Guns N' Roses because he broke his foot. Right. And then he was also singing with AC/DC at the time. So then it goes on tour with AC/DC for a little bit. And then I'm the guy that people call, like, hey, I broke my fucking ankle. Can I borrow the throne? I was like, yeah, okay. So I start sending it out to different people. But recently, like about a month ago, there was this dude in a metal band who stopped an active shooter at his show, at his own show. Whoa. He saw this guy that was acting sketchy. And so he confronted him, and the guy shot this dude in the band in the leg. Oh my God. And then they found his car was full of ammunition, blah, 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 blah.
Jeez. What?
And so he and his friends started this online campaign, like, Dave, you should give him the throne. And I gave him the throne for him to play in his metal band, which was pretty rad.
That's scary.
So listen, if any of you guys ever need...
Yeah.
A throne.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know you've got your Spidey chair, Will, but this thing has like lasers and a smoke machine on it.
Yeah.
That's pretty rad. That's pretty rad.
Dave, I imagine you got some real quality house time with the wife and the girls during COVID. But now, are you back on tour? Are you back on the road? Are you thinking about it?
We are. We're doing some shows here and there. We're playing. Yeah. We've been out. We went out for the last like 2.5-3 months and played all through the Midwest and did Lollapalooza and reopened Madison Square Garden.
Oh, that's right.
We've got some more shows coming up. And then we'll like quiet down for a little bit and then do it all again.
Sean, what isn't there like a vocal exercise or like a sentence? Not like quick brown fox jump.
What is
like
the thing you say before you do a performance?
I'll do it.
Yeah, let's hear it, Sean.
I'll do a ma 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 ma. You're welcome.
Wow.
You could do that.
You know what I do before a show?
Yeah, go ahead.
What do you do?
3 Advil, 2 Coors Lights, and 2 shots of Crown Royal.
There it is.
Is that
26 years? 26 years, right there.
Is that true?
That's absolutely.
You don't smoke butts though, right? You don't smoke butts.
In a pinch.
I do.
You do.
I do. Yeah. I do all the things I'm not supposed to do.
Sure. You're a rock star, goddammit.
It's not even that. I'm just a fuck up, and I'm too lazy to do the thing Sean did before a show. And,
you're not a fuck up.
Someone will hear me doing that.
But here is the deal, and I don't want to embarrass you. You have been an incredibly relevant figure in rock and roll for a long, long time. You've made all these records. You have a family. You are getting up early. You're going to bed early.
Yeah.
You're still doing all the rock star things, but you're managing to juggle the other side as well. My hat is off to you, my friend.
You definitely won.
Jason is really impressed with how early you get up, because he's just like, that's the mark of somebody who's serious.
Well, listen, you can't fake that.
Shut the fuck up. We're not going to fit in your fucking box, Bateman. Okay? Of what you've drawn up, what you think should be, because you don't even do it yourself. Shut the fuck up. I've had enough of it. Dave, you and I are rock stars, man, and we're doing it differently than everybody else.
Said from a Spidey chair.
It doesn't matter.
Dave.
You're a fucking rad dude, and come on over to the house. We're going to lift, and I'm going to get you into sports.
Oh, God.
And Sean's going to tap dance with you, and he's going to get you into promises and promise. And Bateman, you can go and F yourself.
And that's our show.
And with that, sweet, sweet Dave Grohl, thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
I'll see you at Trader Vic's.
So cool to meet you, Dave.
You're a treasure. What a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah. Thanks, fellas. We'll see you around.
Okay.
See you, man.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, buddy. That Dave Grohl. Boy,
Jason,
I mean,
what a great guest.
Look, I fanned out about the Nirvana thing because I grew up listening to him.
Me too. I tried very hard not to ask any Nirvana questions. He doesn't want to talk about Nirvana.
Why not?
Well,
though?
Because that's all he's ever talked about. Everybody always wants to ask about Nirvana. It's like this guy.
Well, yeah, because it's one of the most iconic bands of all time. That's not fair.
He's done 14,000 albums with the Foo Fighters.
But that's like somebody saying you can't ask you an Ozark question or an Arrested Development question.
Well, but did we hammer Paul McCartney about the Beatles? No?
We should have.
We did. We talked a little bit about him being from Liverpool. And we bring up, Teen Wolf 2 all the time with you. We can't not talk about that.
I do enjoy talking about that.
Because as you point out, it's Teen Wolf also.
Yeah, T-O-O. Yeah, it was not a sequel.
He's great. Super guy, super funny.
And he's got a brand new book out. I should have asked him. It's called The Storyteller.
Is it called The Storyteller?
It's called The Storyteller. It's your favorite term, Will.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
But I do love Dave. And by the way, if you're actually writing a book and you call it The Storyteller, that's okay.
So do you guys get the same sort of vibe from him that you do from me? Because we share the same exact day. I mean, do you believe in all that, like astrology and like people born on the same day are kind of the same people? Do you think rock star when you look at me, when you talk to me?
Mm-hmm. First of all, I don't think that that's true. Yeah. I think that if you were born at the same minute, maybe.
Well, maybe
at
we
the
were.
Same place.
You know, I didn't really go that micro with it.
Well, why wouldn't you?
I like when he said the parts of the band he associated with a clock, where like the gear, like the big gear moves a little slower, the little one moves faster, and they all come together. Well, how would you describe us three as the internal parts of a clock?
First of all, I didn't know that we were going around doing like, I like when he said, oh, okay. And I like when he said,
oh, no, I just remembered it.
I like that analogy too. I thought that was really, really cool.
Would you call me the big cock?
No, there's an L, the clock.
Clock?
Big cock. Big cock.
Oh, big cog.
Yeah.
But you were real slurry on the
I was trying to slur the G just to get a joke.
Am I the big cog?
I like the analogy if we were all board games. I would say Jason's chess, Will, you're checkers, and I'm probably chutes and
liars.
You think so?
Oh, I thought you were going to say sorry.
I'm sorry, yeah.
First of all, why am I checkers?
Yeah,
why
because I'm chess. Yeah.
Because you're right.
He's just calling it like he sees it, Will, you know?
What are you talking about? You talk to Bateman?
Because you travel a lot. You can travel with checkers a little bit easier.
Oh, yeah, you guys have traveled. I want to talk about that, by the way. How come we've never taken a trip?
We're going to.
Just the two of us. No, just the two of us. You, me, Sean, or you, me, Will. We're going to do a threesome coming up in February. Get your tickies.
Get your tickies. And I mentioned the merch because I did. We each got one of those Smartless hoodies when we first were coming up with it, and the people who made them sent it to us.
You're not going to wear that, are you? You can't own stuff.
Well, this is what I'm getting to. So they sent it to the three of us to say, like, hey, what do you think?
Right.
And we all got one before they went on sale on the website. And So I still have mine, and it's hanging in the closet. And the other day, I had it on, and sometimes I wear it around the house because it's actually very nice. And this is not me trying to say, they're really comfy. You should get it.
Super comfy.
I actually just put it on, and I said to the kids, I was like, I can't wear this outside of the house ever because I'm like, hey, look, hey, there's the guy wearing his own face.
Yeah.
And did Archie and Abel say, you can't wear it here either. Get it off.
No, they didn't.
But let me ask you something. Jason, you must have Ozark swag. Do you wear it, and do you wear it outside of the house?
I give a lot of it away. I've got two hats that I still keep in my closet for some weird reason, like I'm going to wear them one day, which I can't. I can't go out with.
You're one of the, Jason, are you one of those, like, you wear, like, a Panavision hat? Like, hey, just ask me if I'm a director.
Yeah. A Stunts Unlimited hat.
Just begging for someone to ask.
Go ahead. Just please ask
me. Hey, what kind of mat do you use? Something like that.
It was, well, that's how I felt about the we were talking about the segues before. Remember, Jason remembers, Sean, when I was on Arrested Development, which was a show Jason and I were on, which, again, you got to see.
Comedy. Yeah, you should see it.
Because you like comedy. And I used, my character used to ride one of those segues, those, you know, personal people, single, whatever, people movers. What do they call it? Something like that, something dumb. And I drove that thing around. It's really fun to, they were fun to ride.
Yeah.
I could never ride it from that moment on because I'd be like, hey, guy, are you riding your prop around?
It's so funny. You know, you're going to think I'm a nerd, but like I actually did like sweater vests before my character, Jack McFarlane. Now I can never wear a sweater vest.
Yeah, you can never wear it.
Nope.
Yeah. And now Jason can never wear khakis with the sleeves rolled up on his shirt. Oh, wait, he does it all the time.
that's our show. Bye.
Bye.
Really?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Wait, was that a real buy or no?
I don't think it counts.
By the way, I took a little heat the other day. I was talking to some friends, and they're like, hey, are you serious with the buys at the end of every episode?
What do you mean, are you serious?
Like, they're like saying, because remember, the only reason we're doing it is because it's the most obnoxious, annoying thing.
Absolutely.
It's a joke. Yeah. But I think we're past the joke now, and now it's just awful. What do you think?
Who,
that?
By the way, it depends on who said it. Who asked that?
This is somebody who's not prone to cynicism at all. It's actually somebody I was working with, like a sound crew, engineers at a post-production session.
When you were doing a session for Hyundai?
No, a different, it's a,
different
you
brand.
Know, which, by the way, is a fantastic car.
If
you like safety and if you like economy and handsome lines. So should we change that at all?
No. We've run out of all the puns.
How about like a see ya? Why don't we move on to see ya?
Yeah.
Hang on. Yeah. I'm not taking fucking notes from people. I don't give a shit what they think. I hate when people go, you know, I'll tell you this.
Okay.
This is my last point, and then you guys. I was in Toronto, and I was with our friend Shani this week from Toronto.
Brendan Shanahan, Tracy.
Brendan Shanahan from the Leafs game for Tracy.
Love him.
Who's the president of the Leafs.
Love him.
And he calls.
Nice home opener win. Did you go to the home opener?
I was at the home opener with my dad.
Sure you were.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Nice big win. And I was with my dad and a couple buddies and was there with Shani. We had a nice little dinner before, and then we were at the thing.
Pushing through.
And so we were watching the thing, and I said, you know, that Shani often, after one of our podcast, you know, episodes comes out, he'll call me or text me, and he'll be like, that was pretty good. You know what? I thought when Bateman said that was good, and I liked when Sean, like, he'll do it, like, every week. We'll talk on the phone. He'll have notes. So I realized we were watching the end of the Leafs game, and his brother was there and a couple other people. And I go, you know, I turned to Sean. I go, you know what, man? I go, you call me after the podcast, and you give me notes on the show. So guess what?
Yeah,
after tonight's game, I got some notes, dude.
The third line needs some work.
I got some notes.
And did you give them?
Yeah, I sure did.
Did he take them? Has he implemented them
yet? Well, it's
all
about puck possession, right? Sure, and I think, Sean, you'd agree.
Sure. Yeah, no, puck possession for sure.
Yeah.
They could just jockey for a better puck position.
Yeah, and forecheck.
Possession. Sure.
That's what I said.
Oh, you did. Sorry, I misheard.
Hey, Sean, serious question. If you were to spell forecheck, would you spell it F-O-U-R or F-O-R-E?
First of all, I don't know what that is.
And that's why I'm asking you.
Like a gentleman from Prague, and he's not cut. He's got a forecheck. Is that what you're saying? Now I gotta say bye.
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 Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Michael Grant Terry, Rob Armjarve, and Bennett Barbico.
Smart Less.
If you like SmartLess, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. I'm Misha Brown, and I'm the host of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop. Every week, guests join me to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time. Like, who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? They never imagined somebody might actually try to snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly, Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.